Andrews Hall Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here with Matt Lynch, who is also my co-host this morning. Roy is out for the next couple of weeks. He's going to be playing in some kind of a golf tournament. Good luck, Roy. You've been practicing so much. I wish you a lot of luck. Golf's a tough game. If you're not playing three or four times a week, your short game goes to hell in a handbasket. And if you are anything like me, it's really tough certain holes to find your ball at all. I can hit a ball 300 yards. I just can't always hit it in the short grass. At least it's not the fall where you have leaves hiding your ball. They're laughing at you as you look for it. The ball's under me, fool. But that's just the way it is. We're going to talk baseball today. We're going to talk NFL Hall of Fame. Seven guys went in. My favorite guy went in. Michael Strahan. I've always loved Michael Strahan. Even when I wasn't a Giant fan. Even when I didn't predict the Giants would win a Super Bowl.
He's America's sweetheart.
He is America's sweetheart. He does phenomenal work. He's great on television, and he does it with a nice gap between his two front teeth. And look at me. I have a little gap. It's not like Michael's, but it's a gap. I had to wear braces for 3 years to make the gap as small as it is. Back in the day where they tortured you at the orthodontist with I don't even want to talk about it. It just gives me chills thinking about how tough it was. If you're 60 out there and you had braces, you know what I'm talking about.
Now they just torture your wallet.
Yeah, now they torture your wallet. Exactly. It's been a good week, a great week. We're right at the turn of kind of where baseball season turns into football season. Football season for the next, I'd say, month and a half, 2 months, is going to be, 50 to 75% of what people think about anyway. There are a lot more NFL fans than there are MLB fans, unfortunately. I'm a big fan of both of them. And when we hit October and we hit the baseball playoffs and we hit, week five of the NFL season where everybody's starting to kind of pull away and we're starting to see what teams are like, that's the most exciting part of the year for me. It really is. Early fall, the weather's great. Hopefully I'll be traveling a little bit. We got an interview later today with Jess Root, Revenge of the Birds, a big blog that he writes about the Arizona Cardinals. A lot of people are picking the Cardinals to not only be in the playoffs, but maybe make it to their own Super Bowl this year, which would be really nice. I love Arizona. I think I've told people a number of times. I mean, I spend 8 days in Scottsdale pretty much every year and probably should have bought a condo or a small house there 4 or 5 years ago when they were dirt cheap. Now, because all the Canadians are coming down from Canada, leaving there in droves, and people are leaving California in droves, and people are leaving New York in droves, and people are leaving the east coast of Florida in droves, prices have gone back up. Not crazy, but they've gone up probably 20-30% from where they were. Didn't think this was a real estate show, did you? Well, it is, because the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, sponsors my show. So I'm always talking about real estate. And really, real estate has everything to do with our way of life. I mean, everybody listening to this show is either renting or buying something, unless you're homeless.
And I think we have a good homeless contingent.
Well, we do have a good homeless contingent because you can go to iHeartRadio and listen to our show. So. And, people drop their cell phones all the time. And, homeless people pick them up sometimes. And by the way, I take care of a really cool homeless guy. His name is Roland Johnson. Roland, he's at the Home Plate Public parking lot, which is basically just a big area of dump trucks. where we pay $20 each to park and then walk 300 or 400 yards to the home plate gate of the Washington Nationals park. And, you know, I try to give Roland, you know, it doesn't do him a lot of good to give him a buck. You can't buy anything for a buck. Give him $5, $10, or $20 every time I see Roland. I've given him chairs. I've given him, you know, coats. I've given him food. He always loses the chairs. People steal them from him. He can't, you know, I found out that he stays in a shelter in Northeast Washington, and he takes the bus there, home every night, supposedly. Although it doesn't look like he's sleeping inside, and it doesn't look like he gets a lot of showers. He's only got, I think he's got one tooth for sure that I'm aware of. And he's got about three or four on the bottom. I just noticed last night for the first time ever. So I gave him some floss, told him to use it. He's a great guy. He's younger than me, and he looks 20 years older than me. And I, you know, everybody should have a homeless guy they watch out for, in my opinion. Anyway, let's get off the homeless thing. And talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. The Yankees are still in it. And I hate to tell, you know, I was thinking that maybe the Mets would do something, either try to improve their club or not improve their club. And I think they just elected to stay pat with what they had. The Yankees actually did make a couple of moves, which are not going to hurt them. And you know what? The Yankees, if they're not careful, might make the playoffs. The Mets aren't going to make the playoffs. The Jets, as we said, I've already predicted, will make the playoffs this year, although it sounds like the offense is nowhere to be found. What that generally is Rex Ryan's defense just looking bad as hell like they usually do when they're good, and they have a good team this year. They're going to be tough. They got to figure out who's going to start opening day here in the next few weeks. My money's on Mike Vick, not the kid from West Virginia. Geno, in my opinion, is a backup, always will be a backup unless somebody's injured. I think Mike Vick will be fine. Mike Vick made the statement this week that he could probably play until he's 40. I don't doubt that. He's that athletic. He's that talented. He has that. I just don't know if his brain will let him do that because of concussions he's liable to sustain along the way. You know, he's not a big guy. He's like 5'11", about 205 pounds. Runs probably a 4.45 40 still, at least a 4.5. So, Mike, let me give you some advice. Run out of bounds, Mike. Run out of bounds. Be Fran Tarkenton. You know, don't be in a hospital. Hospitals are not fun. Concussions keep coming back. But I like the Jets. I do. I like them this year. I'm going to follow them closely. I'm hoping to get a couple of good beat writers. Some of the guys big league me a little bit around town. That's all right. I'll have Clark Judge on hopefully every week, every other week, something like that. Clark Judge knows as much as the beat writers, if not more, about New York football, especially because he lives there. The Giants, I'm still trying to figure them out. Taking a peek at what's going on up there right now. I'm going to try to make it up there for at least one, possibly both preseason games. Going to see Thursday night, I'm going to see the Washington NFL football team. That's correct. I didn't say the word, you know what, Redskins. I said it one time, okay. But that's the last time you'll hear it today. They are right now the Washington NFL football team to me. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And here's the sad part about all of this. Dan Snyder is fighting this tooth and nail. You know what? If they change names, he'll make a lot more money, which to me is amazing that he would fight something where he makes a penny more. Because that's what he's all about, the bottom line. He's not about football. He's not about winning. Look at their record while he's been the owner. They suck. They were recently ranked the 32nd best, 32nd best. I love the way they said that. 32nd best NFL organization. There's only 32 organizations. There's only 32. They were ranked 32nd best. And the guy that did that, I read the entire piece. It was phenomenal. People, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, and I'm a realtor, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back and looking forward to a day with you people up in the New York area. From what I understand, people can hear us from Western Connecticut through the boroughs of Manhattan, just south of Newark, New Jersey. And I tested this the last time I was in. We got a Russell Baxter. How are you, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Not as good as you, though. You saw some really fun stuff at the Pro Football Hall of Fame yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Great as usual.
You know, this is, you know, as you get older, and, you know, I assume you're getting older at the same pace I am, Russ. It's kind of neat because all of these people are like guys that I grew up with, you know, guys that I really like, guys that I know about. You know, some of these guys like Claude Humphrey, a lot of people go, who the heck is Claude Humphrey? Well, you and I know who Claude Humphrey is. He was the guy that basically tore down a quarterback every time the Atlanta Falcons were on TV, you know?
Yeah, and the Falcons were not a power in the least when he was with them. For the most part, he was the third overall pick in 1968, and it was only the third year of the Falcons' existence. They came in the league in 66. The franchise didn't get the playoffs till 78. He wound up in a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles in 1980, unofficially totaled with about 122 sacks, because back in those days they didn't officially count them individually, but. And that's why, you know, I just sent out a tweet. Now, I'm not sitting here to get on a soapbox or anything like that. But already this morning I've heard, for lack of a better word, Bruce, complaining about the length of speeches last night.
You know what? They okay? could. Yeah, who was it last
night? Yeah, I mean, yeah. I just got to say this.
I hear you.
Do people have something better to do? Then go do it, okay? But as I prefaced in my tweet, are you telling me if that was your father, your brother, your grandfather, that you would publicly go out and chastise a person for making a speech too long? I would love to see your family's reaction if you did that.
Well, you know, the league thinks very long and hard about what they need to do to make this worthwhile for everybody. And let's just go out on a limb here and say that if you are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you paid your dues in the NFL, and you deserve, I want to say, I don't know if it was Humphrey, but it was somebody that said, look, you know, they told me I only got 10 minutes, but I've been waiting 30 years to get up here, so I don't know how long it's going to take to thank all the people that helped me get up here. I couldn't agree with the guy more. And you know what? I like hearing those speeches. They do the same thing with the people because of TV situations. But this, you know, I mean, leave them alone. You think the league is doing that, or do you think it's the people that are is it NFL, you know, films?
Let's get this out of the way. No, it's certain media people who do it, okay? And I don't understand why. I mean, I make light of a long speech, but first of all, let's get this out of the way. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Bruce.
Right.
It is not run by the NFL. It's supported by the NFL.
Right.
But that's why it's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They acknowledge records like the AAFC passing records of Otto Graham and the running records of Marion Motley and Joe Perry that the NFL doesn't put in its record books. So right. They're a completely separate entity. But I just thought, listen, I made a joke last night and it had nothing to do with the longness of the speech. I just thought the irony of last night was, of all the speeches, the guy with the longest hang time had the shortest speech.
Oh, absolutely.
And he was one of the longest to wait. And, of course, that's a great guy. So, and the hang time, obviously, in reference to his magnificent punting career. I still love the story when he hit the ball off the bottom of the scoreboard in the Superdome, and then they had to adjust the scoreboard in the future and so on. But I don't understand people being upset about long speeches, okay?
Last week
I heard people complaining that Joe Torre left George Steinbrenner out. So now I know we're at the point in some people's mind that we tell people what hat to wear and whether they can wear it frontwards or backwards. Now I guess we're just going to dictate what you can say and what you can't say when you're honored with the highest honor.
Yeah, people need to find something else to watch if they're complaining about that. I got to tell you, I saw parts of Michael Strahan's speech, which was great. I'm not a big Jay Glazer fan for a few different reasons that I won't go into to ruin the spotlight in New York. But, you know, Michael Strahan, from day one, I loved that kid. That he was one of the most fun people to watch play the game of football. And you remember how the media played down his sack record because Brett Favre went down. Well, you know, that wasn't...
Oh, absolutely.
That wasn't his fault. That wasn't his fault. That was Brett being Brett.
No, that's exactly right.
You know?
And by the way, a couple years after that, what, he had 18 and a half sacks?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's take the sack away from him. I think that leaves him with 140 and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Hey, you know what? You talked about Ray Guy. Now, as a young guy growing up, I was a punter, okay? I was not a great punter, but I averaged about 31, 32, you know, from the line of scrimmage when I punted on a club football team, which is basically like minor league football, okay? I had a great time. I used to play punt back, and I'm telling you, I loved Ray Guy. Before steroids, and let's just be honest, there's a lot of punters in the NFL over the past 20 years or so that have had a little bit of help getting bigger, stronger. You know what I'm saying? Ray Guy didn't have any of this stuff. He had a leg God gave him, and he used to just hit monster punts. I've never seen anything like it. As a matter of fact, he's one of the reasons that they were putting two people back instead of one person back to field punts for a long time. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. And listen, the only punter ever drafted in the first round, 1973, by Al Davis and the Oakland Raiders. And it's funny, and another thing about the Hall of Fame, in terms of championships, and you know as well as I do, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is not really about championships. It really is an individual honor.
Right.
You know, most of the guys who were up there last night didn't have an NFL championship.
Right.
Ray Guy had three of them for the three Raiders teams he played on, Super Bowl 11, 15, and 18. But Michael Strahan won a Super Bowl, the final game of his entire season.
That's right.
You know, Aeneas Williams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Andre Reed, Walter Jones.
Yeah.
All those guys. And listen, we had a class a couple of years ago where there were no Super Bowl champions.
Right.
So that's another thing people kind of get caught up in. This is about rings and so on. No, it's about one ring.
Yeah.
It's about the Hall of Fame ring.
Yeah. And there's always that group that's talking about Jerry Kramer and why in the hell isn't he in it. Well, you know, one of the reasons he's not in it is because it's not about rings. Yeah, he had a lot of rings, and he was a pretty good offensive lineman, and he was this, and he was that, and there were books written, all that. I don't care about that. Andre Reed was one of the most, even though they made it to the AFC Championship game 4 years in a row, a lot of people don't realize that. Jim Kelly, who, you know, has been suffering from oral cancer, and, you know, anybody close to the sport knows how bad cancer is to begin with, but oral cancer, oh, geez. I mean, Jimmy Kelly, Andre Reed was his go-to guy. Forever.
Oh, no doubt. Be it deep or be it underneath, he was great after the catch. You saw the pass between the two last night. They hooked up for a lot of touchdowns. I mean, that was a fun thing to see last night. And again, you know, that championship run by the Bills, which didn't include a Super Bowl title, but the four straight AFC championships, and actually the span of where they were in the AFC title game five times in 6 years.
Unbelievable.
They lost the 88 game. They lost the 88 game to the Cincinnati Bengals at Riverfront Stadium. And the thing about those Bills teams, they did it as a number one seed. They did it as a wild card. And now all those guys are getting their recognition. And, you know, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Marv Levy, all in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Obviously, the owner, Ralph Wilson, just passed away earlier this season. Quite a run. And I don't know if there'll be more. Maybe Kent Hull, the safety, who is a big part of all those teams as well.
Yeah.
We'll see down the line. Maybe a Cornelius Bennett, I'm not sure. But, you know, special times and the special bond that exists between those men is always great to see. And, you know, front and center with these kind of ceremonies where people get to talk about the people who were such influences, not only in their professional careers, but in their lives, growing up as children. Again, there's such a family theme that goes on here now. You see it more and more. We saw two sons induct their father last night, Derrick Brooks and Walter Jones' son. And, of course, Claude Humphrey was inducted by one of his daughters.
Hey, let's talk about those two guys. I mean, Walter Jones. I mean, for the longest time, every time I hear that word, I think of Walter B. Jones, the, you know, like 40-year congressman from the state of North Carolina. But Walter Jones was a I want to say he was a left tackle for Seattle back when Seattle wasn't that good, you know. But what he
he was there. He went through all kinds of periods with them, the down times and then the up times. He played in Super Bowl 40. But how's this for a stat? 9 holding calls in his entire career, 9 Pro Bowl invitations.
That's unbelievable. I mean, and you think about it. I mean, the Redskins have had left tackles that have had 9 holding calls in a month. You know, it happens all the time.
I thought you were going to say in a game.
Yeah, you were going to hit the buzz me. I'm talking to my favorite guy, Russell Baxter, profootballguru.com. And by the way, Russell, I wore 2 shirts this week. I wore one, and I thought I had washed and dried it. And I looked around, and it was in the dirty clothes pile. I pulled out another new one, put it on. I wore it out. I handed out one this week. You know, we're going to be giving them out here. Russell, you just celebrated like your 35,000th follower, something like that, right?
32,000. But speaking of giveaways, me and my partner, Sonny Cadwalder, downtown Canton yesterday at TZ's Tailgate, which is, you know, a couple exits down from the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
We did our show First and 60 live there. It was our first remote. Sonny was attending the Hall of Fame for the first time. She came out from Spokane, Washington. We were in the middle of a Buffalo Bills Andre Reed party at the bar, and we did some T-shirt giveaways. We had a lot of fun with the people down there. We must have been giving out 20, 25 shirts. You know, a lot of fun, kind people, great support from the restaurant itself. The Tampa station 98.7 was doing their show down there with Mark Ryan and Booger McFarland. On Friday, you know, I don't know if this is on your bucket list.
Oh, Bruce. I gotta go. No, you're right.
Listen, you come out here, me and you could do some radio together.
You know, I'd love to, and I love listening to you, Russ. You're the greatest in the world. I know you're busy today, because you know you're still there, right? I mean, you gonna stay for the football game, or are you headed back?
Well, Sonny and I are gonna go down to do a little. Listen, you can't come to the Hall of Fame without visiting the Hall of Fame.
That's for sure.
I've been in it like 20-something times. There's always something new there. I'm looking forward to taking her around and seeing a lot of stuff. And, you know, we'll tweet out some pictures. And then we're around for the game tonight, which, of course, is the Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants. Harry Carson is the Giants honorary captain. Jim Kelly, the honorary captain for the Bills, who's going to toss the coin tonight. And think about – you want to talk about a man. And Jim, I know a little because I work with Jim and – he's a terrific guy, but you want to talk about a post-career?
Yeah.
Okay? Jim Kelly, over these last 2 days, besides throwing the ball
right
to Andre Reed on the stage last night
right
and tossing the coin,
yeah.
I mean, he's getting more pass attempts than any pro football quarterback I know of right now.
You know, Jimmy Kelly, I met him when the Redskins beat them in Minnesota. We stayed in the same hotel. I had several hotels. I took over 400 people, 2 airplanes up there. And that was,
we stayed at the Hyatt when I was there with ESPN that year.
Well, you flew into a blizzard too if you went in on Friday night, because it was unbelievable. And we didn't get everybody to their hotel rooms till 4:30. But I got to tell you, the Buffalo people were at home. They didn't care. You know, they're used to snow. They're used to cold. And the greatest thing about the Buffalo fans is they are not. They're not like, I hate to compare them to somebody, but they're not like Philly fans. They're not violent. They're just so enthusiastic, and you know what they love to talk about? Frozen beer. They talk about, I remember the playoff game back in 88 when I went and got beer, and halfway to my seat, it was frozen, you know? And I'm like, why are you buying beer if it's freezing up? They didn't care. They just wanted to show everybody they had a frozen beer. Talking to Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru here. Russ, tell us about all of your stuff right now so I don't forget, okay? Go ahead. Yeah, this is plug time for us.
You can find it on the net. But one of the pieces I've been able to do for Bleacher Report the last 3 years, which I have a blast doing, is rating, power ranking the Hall of Fame classes. There's now 52 of them. And I always preface at the top, there's no worst Hall of Fame class. Okay, so get that out of your mind. We're not bashing any of the Hall of Fame classes. It's just simply a ranking. It's a lot of fun to do. It's a great stroll down memory lane.
Absolutely.
I inserted some clips and speeches and... You might even see a famous defensive tackle have a Coke and a smile when you get to the Mean Joe Green page. And my favorite class in terms of, I think, is the best class, is the class of 1993, because I think it encompasses so much. in that class. It was a class that included Walter Payton, you know, enough said, one of the greatest runners of all time. It was a class that encompassed both Chuck Knoll and Bill Walsh, the architects of the 70s Steelers and the 80s 49ers.
Two of the greatest.
Yeah, Larry Little, who was a pivotal part of the Dolphins Super Bowl team.
Yep.
And, of course, Dan Fouts.
Oh,
you know, you're splitting hairs with some of these. You know, 2004 we had, no, not 2004, it'd been later than that. 2008 or 2009 was Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith going in the same year.
Hey, Russ.
It's a great stroll down memory lane. I advise you check it. And if you want to catch me on Fansided, I just got done doing the Giants preview for this year. We got 12 teams down. We got 20 to go.
Russell, I can't thank you enough. Listen, one of the greatest guests I've ever had. I love it. And listen, you have fun at that ball game tonight, and tell everybody you know to take the Bills tonight. I don't like to play preseason, but there's no way all those Buffalo Bill alumni are going to go away with a loss. They're going to win tonight.
There are a couple thousand Bills fans here. And as Andre Reed said last night, they're not going anywhere.
No, it's a home game.
That was a reference to Buffalo.
It's a home game. Russell Baxter, thank you so much for being on the show.
You got it, Bruce.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon for sure, man. It's football season now, buddy. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I tell you what, every time I get off the phone with Russell Baxter, for an hour, I have an adrenaline rush. He pumps me up. I mean, the guy's younger than me, not much younger than me, but he gets me so excited about what he does. And what he does is break down every facet of NFL football. And he's an expert at everything. I mean, if you ever question Russell Baxter on a fact, you better have proof right there, because he will, within 30 seconds, destroy what you just said with facts. And he'll do it in a way that makes you like him. I'm going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball right now, because for a lot of my listeners, and we hear this all the time, you like listening to the show because I give you winners, and I'm going to give you winners this weekend also. It's a really, right now there's, you know, about a third left of the regular season in Major League Baseball. Right now, you know, you look at a team like the Baltimore Orioles in the American League East, they're 61-47. They're three games out in front of Toronto. They're 5.5 in front of New York. But their arrow is going up. They just picked up Andrew Miller, a Red Sox, who, you know, is a really good left-handed relief pitcher. It was about all they needed, really. They score plenty of runs. They're not even hitting the ball. I mean, Chris Davis is hitting 199. Well, if Chris Davis gets hot, the Orioles will win, you know, like 15 out of 20. You know, nobody on that team is really crushing the ball right now, but they're getting great pitching. Toronto made no moves. Matter of fact, some of their players even complained about their lack of movement in the free agent market or in the trade market before the deadline. Doesn't mean they can't trade afterwards, but I mean, when you're looking at Toronto, I'm looking at a team that's probably going to go into third or fourth place before it's all over. They're 60-52 right now. You know, they're just not going to do it. The New York Yankees are doing okay. They're hanging in there. They're still getting guys injured. They got little nicks going on. You know, when you think about this for a second, the Yankees' top four guys in their rotation, starting pitchers, are all out. And they're still competing. They're 56-53. You know, they're basically a 500 team. Not a great team defensively at all. Their average age has got to be well over 30. But they're playing ball, and they show up at the stadium every day. And that's a tribute, in my opinion, to Joe Girardi, their manager. I'd love to coach that team with Joe because, you know, those guys love to play ball. And you know what? If you're 50 and you're playing, you know, in a 50 and over or 50 and under league, you love playing ball too. And these guys aren't that old. They're in their 30s, and they're playing some baseball. And a lot of them are very good. He sure started hitting the ball a little bit last week. I like New York. I don't think they're going to catch Baltimore, but they do have a shot. They do have a shot if they get hot. And they got to get pretty damn hot to be a wild card in the American League. If you look at Detroit, they're going to, you know, Detroit's only 5 games out in front of Kansas City, Cleveland, and Chicago. But you know what? Those teams are going nowhere. Detroit is just going to make up more and more ground for them to cover. Detroit will win this division by 10 games or more. Oh, by the way, they just traded for David Price. Hello? I wanted San Francisco so bad to get David Price. But in my opinion, and this is my opinion, after talking to some people out there, you know, they just weren't in it for the money. They didn't want to bring Price in just for the run. If you brought David Price in, you're bringing him in pretty much for a while, you know, like 6 to 8 years. And I don't think that Larry Bear and the ownership group in San Francisco wanted to spend that much more money because they've spent that kind of money on Matt Cain, who is getting ready to go on. He may not pitch the rest of the season. They've got to spend that kind of money on Madison Bumgarner soon, one of the top left-handers in baseball. They spent a 2-year deal, which is running out after this year, on Timmy Lincecum for $21 million a year. You know, and you know, you couldn't imagine San Francisco without Timmy. However, is he going to make $21 million a year on his next contract? I doubt it. He hasn't had the numbers to support that. But they don't want to lose him. They're probably going to keep him in the bullpen. I mean, there's just so many things. Detroit, by getting David, you know, they gave up Smiley. Smiley's pretty good. There's a lot of people that think that trade was just good for Detroit. That's not true. You know, I mean, everybody got better. That 3-way deal was a great, great deal. A lot of people thought Seattle was going to be involved in that deal. I mean, more than they were. Oakland and LA are basically the 2 best teams in the American League. The Oakland A's are 67-42. That's not counting last night's game, I don't think. The Los Angeles Angels, 65-43. Mike Trout, MVP year. I listened to an interview with a couple of Oakland players on the way in this morning. They kind of like what Billy Beane did. Billy Beane, you know, as you remember, got 2 starters from the Cubs. Great starters. You know, one of former guy that everybody thought was going to be a great wide receiver in the NFL. He ends up pitching for the Cubs, Jeff Smarja. And they got Smarja, and they also got Hamill. And then they just got unbelievable. They got Lester from Boston. But they had to give up Yonis Cepedes, you know, the guy that won the home run derby last 2 years from Cuba. Yonis Cepedes, you know, isn't a guy that's going to get on base every time he shows up. I think his on-base average is below .310. But he hits bombs. He's a great defensive outfielder. The throw he made from the left field corner to home plate to throw a guy out earlier this year measured at 103.5 miles an hour. That's scary. Don't get in the way of that throw with your head. You're dead. But that's it. Oakland, LA, Detroit, Baltimore, and one of the two, either Toronto or New York, and I say it's New York, are going to be in the playoffs. The Yankees, I'm telling you, they got a shot at being the number, you know, they got a shot at being the 5th team in the playoffs. And I think it's going to happen. If you take a look at the National League East, you know, the New York Mets are only 7 games out. And they won last night. You know, DeGrom pitched a great game again. Jake Peavy, who was picked up by the San Francisco Giants, for next to nothing compared to what David Price would have cost them. He throws into the 7th inning pitching a perfect game. DeGrom pitches into the 7th inning pitching a no-hitter. I wish I had Russell Baxter here. He'd probably figure out in 5 minutes when the last time that ever happened was. Probably 50 years. But Jake Peavy, unfortunately, Mike Morse was playing left field. A guy hit a fly ball over Morse. He looked like a high school kid going back for it. He doesn't get it. you know, it just, they end up losing 4-2. But the Mets are still clinging on to life there. David Wright hasn't started hitting the ball yet, but he's going to be fine. As a matter of fact, I thought that the Washington Nationals hierarchy had an opportunity to put a big deal together with the Mets. And I think Sandy Alderson would have done it, because here's the one thing I've found about Sandy Alderson, like him or not like him, and I don't like him, but like him or not like him, he's always aware of the money, always. And, you know, he takes care of owners' money. He does. And if you get rid of David Wright's salary, that would be putting a lot of money somewhere else that they could spend it on something else. And I thought it might be a decent idea for Washington to take two or three guys and a prospect or two and throw them at New York for David Wright, because Ryan Zimmerman has done it third base. And they could always, always put Anthony Rendon at second. You know, they just put a deal together for Asdrubal Cabrera. And we're going to talk to Tony, my buddy Tony from Cleveland, 11:30, about that trade and about a lot of other things. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Matt and I just had an interesting conversation. Now listen, you people out there. If you break my window. Now we were talking about tone. You know, it's funny when you do radio, and I can do soliloquies. It's not a problem for me to talk for 10 hours at a time, because I got a lot to say. I read a lot. I look at a lot. I experience a lot. I hold a lot in, believe it or not. I do. If I let everything out, I'd be in jail, or I'd be a political prisoner in my own country, which is probably happening as we speak. But anyway, let's finish the National League standings. I'm going to talk a little bit about that part of baseball. If you're just joining the show, we had Russell Baxter on early. He was unbelievable. And by the way, you can hear my show again at 2:00. So if you're getting here and you got something to do, or if you're going to church, or you got to pick kids up, or you got lacrosse practice, you got soccer practice, you don't have baseball practice if you got kids now, because it's Little League season's over.
Or more importantly, if you have kids,
if you're having sex, it's very important to tape the show.
If you have kids, you
if you have sex, you're going
to
have
kids. Listen to it in the morning.
Okay.
You listen to it in the morning, and then you take them out somewhere at 2:00.
Yeah.
And say, I bet you he's going to pick this. I bet you he's going to pick
that. Oh, you're going to look smart in front of your children.
Yeah, they'll think you're amazing.
Well, let's just hope they're not ADHD and they've taken their medication if they are. Listen. Washington and Atlanta, who are in the same division as the Mets. The Mets right now are one game out of third place behind the Miami, whatever. You know, I don't even care about Miami, to be honest with you. I mean, they're the Marlins. They used to be the Florida Marlins. Now they're the Miami Marlins. They've got a decent team. They've won 7 out of their last 10 games. Atlanta and Washington have kind of been struggling as of late. Atlanta's lost 4 games in a row. I think they won last night. If they didn't, they've lost 5 in a row. Atlanta, in my opinion, is going nowhere this year. The loser between Washington and Atlanta in the National League East division is not going to make the playoffs as a wild card. So you can, I'm basically taking Washington as an 8-5 favorite, and Atlanta is 2-1. I sent this out this week. All of my odds, Bruce Hall's odds, not Vegas's odds, my odds. Atlanta is 2-1 to win the National League pennant, and Washington is 8-5. Milwaukee is not going to win the Central Division. Now, even though they're 2 games out in front of Pittsburgh and St. Louis, guess what? St. Louis is going to make a run here in the next month and a half. They're going to win the Central Division. I have them. Honestly, right now, I have them at 8-5 also, just like the Washington Nationals to win. I got Pittsburgh I got Pittsburgh at 5-1 to win the National League pennant. In my opinion, they have the least chance of making the playoffs out of the seven teams that are still vying for a playoff spot. Milwaukee will make it as a wild card behind St. Louis. I have Milwaukee at 2-1 because I don't think they've got the pitching for a short series to make a big enough difference. I really don't. They're fun to watch, and there's a lot of stuff going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates right now, but they're not going to be there when it's over, unfortunately. The Dodgers, I have them even money. So they're 62-48. They're not even playing as well as they can yet. And I hate to say it, you know, to my buddy Bruce Bochy and the San Francisco Giants, it's going to be a tough year for you. I think you make the playoffs possibly if you win 90 games as a wild card. But if you don't win 90 games, it's over. Which is why I really wanted them to get David Price. You know, look, if you look at San Francisco's starting pitching, they've got Madison Bumgarner as a number one. Who's their number two? It's not Tim Lincecum. It's not Ryan Vogelsong. Matt Cain's on the DL. Certainly not Jake Peavy, who they just picked up from Boston. It's got to be Tim Hudson, who they picked up this past year in free agency from Atlanta. And Timmy Hudson, ironically enough, not being an Atlanta Brave might be the reason Atlanta's not in it this year. A front office gaffe, G-A-F-F-E. I would never call anything a gaffe, but for some reason I put that in my mind there. But it was a mistake made by their front office, Frank Wren, in my opinion, not signing him. They thought they had enough starting pitching. Well, what happened? They did, but then three starters got injured. And they didn't re-sign a guy. And the Braves, like I said, they're a long shot to make it. The Dodgers are probably going to be in the playoffs for sure. Sanford, they would have to lose literally. I mean, if they win 28 more games, the Dodgers, they're in the playoffs. San Francisco has to win 31 more games. You know, it's going to be tough. Now, San Francisco is very good on the road, as is the Dodgers. Both San Francisco and the Dodgers are much better on the road than they are at home. San Diego, please don't make me laugh. Arizona, Colorado, all AAA teams. If you had 12 home runs right now for the San Diego Padres, you would be leading their team in home runs. Yeah, they got rid of Chase Headley. He's a New York Yankee now. And by the way, that's another reason the Yankees are probably going to make the playoffs. They're going to find out that Chase Headley is a guy they want to keep, for sure. And re-sign, and he's one of the best third basemen in baseball. He died and went to heaven. Instead of playing in San Diego in front of sparse crowds filled with opposing teams' fans, he's in Yankee Stadium for every home game. Congratulations, Chase Headley. Paul Goldschmidt got hit on the hand, I guess, last night or the night before. They had just won 8 out of their last 10 games. Had pulled it within, are you ready for this, 14 games of the lead. But Goldschmidt is an all-star, and if he's out, they're really done. Colorado, they're done. You know, Tulowitzki's out. Colorado's done. They're history. So you got L.A. and probably the Washington Nationals. And I would say the St. Louis Cardinals. Any one of those three is going to win it. I'm not calling San Francisco out to win it because I don't want to jinx them. I want them to come from behind. I want them to prove that the roster that they have is good enough to win. And to do that, they've got to do two things. They have to hit and they have to pitch. They haven't done much of that at the same time in the last month. You know, they've arguably had their worst, you know, section of the season in the last month and a half. And they're going to have to change it. And if anybody can do it, Bruce Bochy can do it. So there you go. Let's go over some. You got a little bit of time left. I'm going to give you my games for today. First of all, Sunday's probable pitching matchups. Get your pen out, everybody. You know, call your friend who makes a bet with you from time to time. Over dinner, of course. You know, and this is all for fun. This is all pool stuff. Texas is at Cleveland. Yu Darvish. You know, I can't play Texas even with Yu Darvish pitching. But having said that, you know, Texas will probably win this game. But I'm going to leave them alone. They've lost three out of their last 12. Pass on the game. You got a great game in Baltimore today. You got Seattle at Baltimore. Two teams that are both still in the hunt. Baltimore leading the division. Seattle is, you know, 56-53. They have the same record as the New York Yankees. If they had made a couple of moves before the trade deadline, Seattle might be the team we're talking about right now and not the Yankees. You got Iwakuma at Tillman. I'm going to pass on the game. It's about a half an hour from the studio. I'm tempted to go there, but I don't think it's going to happen because it's raining outside. You got the Angels at Tampa Bay. You got Weaver at Odorizzi. Tampa Bay won last night. I'm going to pass on the game because I love Odorizzi. Even though he's only 7-8, his last three games, he's 3-0 with a 2.33 ERA. It's probably a Tampa play. I'm going to leave it alone, even though it's even. Minnesota's at the Chicago White Sox. I could care less about these two teams right now. They make me sick, except one guy, Jose Abreu, who is hitting the crap out of the ball again. Cuban defector, 26, 27 years old. He could be 30 for all we know. But, I mean, he's a rookie. That doesn't make sense. How can you let him enter a rookie of the year with a 22, 23-year-old kid? Kansas, I'm going to pass on the game. Toronto's at Houston. You got Marcus Stroman, who did 50 games out of Duke University, I think before he made the major leagues. I mean, he got in trouble for drugs. Not I don't think it was bad drugs. I think it was, you know, steroids. That's a bad drug, too. But I think Marcus Stroman is found his way. He's got a 3.03 ERA. Arguably, he's the best pitcher on the Toronto staff, and he's only 23 or 24 years old. He goes against Feldman, who used to be with Baltimore. You know, Houston is playing ball for Bo Porter. If you want to watch a really good young coach in action, watch Bo Porter with the Houston Astros. And, you know, they had some problems with their number one draft choice, getting him signed. He didn't sign. Kansas City's at Oakland. What's rule number one on Bruce Hall Sports Show? You know, this is Bruce Hall's second opinion. What's my number one rule? Take Oakland on Sunday, especially when one of their best pitchers is throwing. They are 16-5 when Kazmir starts. They're playing Kansas City. Hello? Take them. They're -160. That means, you know, you have to put 160 up to 100 if you're in Vegas. Take it. That's my only pick in the American League. Phelps is at Buchholz. I'm passing. Like, you know, don't like either one of them that much. I'm going to pass on that game. You got Mike Leake going into Miami. Cincinnati, Miami, I'm passing. Cincinnati has folded it in. They're all playing golf, I hear. They're not playing baseball anymore. This is a great game in New York. Go to Citi Field today and see Madison Bumgarner, one of the top left-handers in baseball. By the way, you know what? He just had a birthday the other day. Now, you got to remember, Madison Bumgarner has two Super Bowl rings already. How old do you think he was on his birthday, Matt? 24. He's my son's age and has two Super Bowl rings. He's going up against Bartolo Colon, Jabba the Hutt. He looks just like Jabba the Hutt. He really does. Especially if he laid down on his back in a coffin, he would look exactly like Jabba the Hutt, because when people are lying down in their coffin, they don't look like themselves. Their face spreads out. Don't ask me why I know that. But let me just tell you this.
Fact of the day,
Madison Bumgarner, listen, Madison Bumgarner has a much better road record than he does at home. I would take San Francisco if I took anybody here. Philadelphia, Steven Strasburg, who a lot of people say is our ace, and he's not, goes up against Cole Hamels, who's on fire. Take Cole Hamels in three games, 23 innings, 0.78 ERA. You got Lackey going against Milwaukee. Lackey, a brand new St. Louis Cardinal, take St. Louis. And the only other game I'm going to give you, Los Angeles Dodgers against the Chicago Cubs. Take them. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say this to you, Matt. This week, I was talking to several of my friends, probably five of them, that all told me that they went and saw, I can't even believe I'm saying this, they went and saw the DC United play their game the other, you know, this past week at home. And it was almost a sellout. I mean, there were like 25,000 people.
Sellout is a very relative term when it comes to RFK.
Soccer. What they mean is the lower level.
not soccer in general, just RFK. You look at a team like Seattle who sells out the NFL stadium.
Well, we're not talking about the NFL either. We're talking about Major League Soccer.
You have NFL numbers with Seattle.
In soccer?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know why? Because it's always raining. They have all those turf fields, so they get to play all those soccer games.
There's just something in the water there, as opposed to Toledo, where there's actually something in the water.
Well, but, you know, baseball on the West Coast is big, but it rains a lot in Washington. Usually, although they're in the middle of a drought right now, which is really hard to believe, there are fires on a friend of mine's ranch right now because they get lightning and there's no rain with it. Mm-hmm. And it starts fires. But I just wanted you to know, ever since the World Cup, I've started to like notice more. And you know, I played soccer.
There's
for a
always
while.
A bump. Yeah. This season, I think this year it's a bump, and people are getting a return. They're actually seeing quality on the field. They're seeing good teams as opposed to, well, it's not World Cup, but it's local. Now they're seeing, this is local, and there are players that I now know because of the national team and other national teams. With DC United, you don't really have any national team players. What do you got there?
It's a Sunday paper. You can tell. You know how I know the MLS standings are in it. And by the way, the Washington Post sports page during the week blows. It is the worst sports page in the country. Why they even put one out, I have no idea. If it wasn't for USA Today, I'd probably kill myself. Because I love to read. I can't listen to 10 sports stations at once, but I can read 10 newspapers, right? But the MLS, the DC United, Matt, they're right there. They're only 2 points behind Sporting KC. Is that Kansas City?
But they've played two games less, so their points per game average is like 1.9, whereas KC is like 1.7.
But you know, those are the two best teams in their division. It looks like
in the East.
And Seattle looks really good. They're 12-5.
They got blown out by LA.
Well, LA's in second place. Well, I think they're in second place,
0-4, and it was. No, they're in third right now. But if you look at the state of the league right now, there are really four teams that are just killing it on all cylinders, and that's DC United, Sporting KC, Seattle. Their hiccup this past weekend, which was a very noticeable loss. And it was on a national stage because everybody wanted to see the Seattle-Los Angeles matchup all season. And they got blown out on their home field. And that's the only team that you don't want to be blown out on your home field.
I have a question.
Everybody who's anybody.
Chivas
USA.
Chivas USA. Where's their home stadium?
They share a stadium with LA.
That explains
for now.
It. That explains
they just got bought by the league, and they're going to probably move.
Well, the United have a match today. They're at Houston, tonight. And Houston's not that good.
And I will make my prediction. I will give you a prediction.
What's the score going to be?
I don't know about that.
They're going to beat them bad.
It's maybe 3-1, I'd say.
Okay,
but this is going to be
DC United wants their fifth win in a row. Not just, you know, a lot of people in soccer talk about a winless or undefeated goal. What is that?
Record crowd sees Manchester United defeat Real Madrid 3-1. 109,000 people were at Michigan Stadium.
Michigan?
The University of Michigan. That was the largest crowd to ever see a soccer game in the United States.
Maybe there's your bump.
There's your bump. And you know what? Now, granted, there ain't a whole lot.
All these don't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? 109,000 people. That's as many people that go to see the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, but that's when you.
Matt, I'm trying to give you some kudos here, and you're playing it down.
I'm talking about things that matter. Like your home.
Well, you know what they told them? You know what they told them, right? You know what they told them? They told them the Beatles were playing. and then they showed up, and there was a damn soccer game going on. That's Detroit. I'm Bruce Hall, and I love soccer, by the way.
It's near Detroit, so
I don't love it as much as I did when I played it. You know, soccer, you know, here's the thing about soccer.
Maybe we'll be seeing Chivas DC.
But listen, here's the thing about soccer if you're an American, if you're just a normal human being. If you got kids playing, it's kind of interesting. If you're playing yourself, it's very interesting. If you're watching it on TV, you're looking to see what's on the other channels.
No,
I would much rather watch it. This is me now. I'm a golfer. I would much rather watch Saturday or Sunday golf event in the PGA than a soccer match.
See, people tonight.
That's me.
Tonight, people are going to be watching this DC United game.
Here's my question. Is anybody in Houston going to be watching it? What I want you to do me a favor. Don't interrupt me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm toning it down. I want you to check right now and see what the average attendance is for Houston's soccer team.
Those numbers are going to be...
Okay, I don't care, man. I want you to check it out.
Because last year they were close to winning the championship. Yeah. This year they're close to the bottom.
Well, let's just check and see how many people will be in Houston. Well,
but I want to give my prediction.
Watching a game. All right, go ahead. Give it.
All right.
Is anybody else besides me notice Matt is like avoiding my question?
Well.
Go ahead.
All right, so this week the former star player of Houston, Brian Ching, called out our current
What's
star
his last
player,
name?
Brian Ching.
Spell it.
C-H-I-N-G.
Is he Asian?
Yes.
Oh, God, that's terrible. Maybe, all right.
No, that's not terrible.
Well, you know what? If he had a brother
That
named,
was terrible.
If he had a brother named Ching, he'd be Ching Ching.
Oh, God.
Ching Ching! Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, God.
I meant that in a good way. Go ahead.
A good way. All right. So, called out our current star player, quotes, Eddie Johnson, for
he's only playing
for a contract.
Right. Oh, what? And because he doesn't love the game?
Just because they say he plays when it's time for the contract to be up.
Was Eddie on our U.S. team, though?
He should have been.
Why wasn't he?
Because he plays in the MLS.
Jozy Altidore was better or younger.
They thought Altidore was going to stay healthy through the World Cup. It's a long story.
All right, keep going.
He should have been there.
Keep going. Don't let me interrupt you.
So Brian Ching called him out saying he only plays up for the contract. What?
Oh, hit the button.
Screw him. I'm not going to play that.
All right. Go ahead.
And then on top of that, you also have Bobby Boswell. I played for DC United in the early 2000s, went to Houston, got some championships with them, and then came back to DC United. So he's going back to his former team and who let him go. There's going to be some animosity there. This is going to be a good game.
Soccer uses words like animosity. Hey, you know, I saw the greatest thing on Facebook this week. And it was a picture of a wrestler with a cauliflower ear taped up, blood coming out of his eyes and his nose.
I saw you post this.
And I posted it. And it said, soccer players fake injuries. Wrestlers wrestle with many injuries.
Did you read the comments on your post?
Yeah, they're all from... Well, I'm not going to say it.
No, it was the funniest thing about your post.
What did it say?
You show the top photo was of Neymar getting his back broken.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, but so, I don't even know why. Yeah, but I didn't put that on there, I don't think.
Yeah,
No. My picture was
soccer players go down like a feather, and the picture was of Neymar getting his back broken on the world stage.
I remember that, yeah. And you know what? That was when that happened. Don't you remember me and you talking? And I said, you know what? That's the one place you can get hit on your back and you can really get hurt. He did. He got hit in the small of his back.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, this soccer conversation, man, has been really interesting. But what I'm getting ready to say here in a second is much more interesting. It has to do with everybody that either owns or rents their place. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. Matt Lynch is here with me, Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Vamos United.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
By the way, what you just talked to me about that nobody knows about, Matt, I love this. This is like really secret stuff.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Well, you just said it about the segment that we're going to do. Can't do it that way. You know why? I asked Tony to call in 11:30.
Tony can wait.
No, Tony ain't wait. No. Tony can't wait because he's got Johnny Manziel on his cell phone. He's got Manziel's cell number. I swear to God, he does. At least that's what he told me.
Ooh.
I'm Bruce Hall, and hopefully one of these days we're going to talk to... Stop it! Johnny Manziel is news.
I'm so tired.
I just gave a segment to MLS, and you're laughing about Johnny Manziel and my Cleveland connection?
He hasn't even played a game.
Let's say this real quick. This is important. Not to be remiss, the Red Bulls won last night in New Jersey, and they defeated the New England team 2-1. And I'd be remiss not saying that.
New England team.
Well, they're terrible, I know. But
New York needs a midfield. And you know what?
Why don't they play at City Field? Why don't they play there?
They play in Jersey. They have a soccer specific stadium.
Do they?
DC.
Good,
but. You know what we will be talking about soon?
What?
New York FC, an actual New York City football team next year.
They're
New York City soccer team, I should say.
God, he said football. He meant football.
They're going to be playing in the city.
He meant football with a U. Football. Yeah. Right? Football.
Mm-hmm.
Football. Hey, give me the football. I kick a football. I kick a touchdown. No? I kick a touchdown?
They've already.
Look, my arms are up. I kick a touchdown. I'm good. It's good. No? No? Okay.
Oh, God. Go ahead. No, but they're going to have a real...
I'm still trying to get over Ching Ching. I'm Bruce
Hall.
I'm
sure a lot of people are.
Hey, that is funny, though.
That would be... You can...
That is absolutely a great thing. Ching Ching. I mean, he's probably their best player.
Complaints can be made to at Bruce Hall Sports.
Yeah, you can go to at Bruce Hall Sports and let me know. And please, whatever you do, don't drive over to my house if you're going to do that. If you're going to complain about, you know, me saying that... Stay off the road.
Bring your pitchfork.
Yeah, don't get behind the wheel of a car, whatever you do. Let me tell you, we've covered a couple of things. We've covered Major League Baseball. I did, you know, we got a call and the guy said, hey, you got to give us, at the end of the show, we're going to get, at the end of the show, this is a teaser, at the end of the show, I'd say what, 11:57? Yeah.
Sure.
About 11:57, if you want to know who to play today, in Major League Baseball, and have a smile on your face at the end of the day, ching, ching, what you should do is listen to my picks today. And by the way, what's rule number one? You even know this. Take the Oakland A's on Sunday, always. They have not lost a pick of mine on Sunday. 9 picks. I'm 9-0 on Sunday with the Oakland A's. 9-0. Did you know that?
No.
Of course you didn't know that.
God, no.
Of course, you didn't know that.
I watch sports that have action.
You know what? I really miss Roy for my baseball picks. You know why? Because whoever he picks, just take the other side and you win. He's a lot better at football than he is at baseball, people. And I'm glad he's playing golf again because that means he's getting a life back. Now, he's going to have, I think.
Has it been announced?
I don't know if we should.
Well,
are we supposed to say that Roy might be having a little girl? I don't know.
That's a boy.
It's
a boy. On Facebook?
No, did he have a penis?
Roy?
Hey,
Probably not.
Do you remember? Did you ever see that movie called Parenthood? Girls have a vagina and boys have a penis. That's the best line of the whole movie. This little girl saying it, and this little boy's going. This little boy's like got 5 hats on backwards and running around hitting his head up against stuff. I'm Bruce Hall, and if you like Parenthood, call in 240-317-7294, 240-317-7294. Here's what I'd like to throw out there, and we're going to give away a ProFootballGuru.com jersey. of my buddy who was on earlier today. And by the way, if you didn't hear the show earlier, you missed a great segment on the Pro Football Hall of Fame by my buddy Russ Baxter, who's at Canton, Ohio, and will be there all day today and watch the game tonight and all that. But it was a great segment, don't you agree, Matt? And you can hear it at 2 o'clock because at 2:15, Russ will be on because they do the replay of my show every Sunday at 2 on AM 1230 WFAS.
Or on their on your website.
On my website.
BruceHallSports.com.
Yeah, you can go to Bruce.
Which I guess that's where we can put the interview.
You know what you need to do? You need to like my page because I haven't spent any time on my page in so long. And I, you know what? I had 15 likes yesterday, just yesterday. Who's liking my sports page when I don't even pay attention to it?
You probably shouldn't admit that online.
Do you know what I should do? Do you know what I should do, though? I should start writing my blog again because my blog is very good. And I'm going to probably send my blog out, via Facebook because once my blog – let me tell you, no one pays attention to me until I start picking games. Then everybody knows Bruce Hall. Hey, did you see what Bruce had? He was 7-for-8 yesterday. Hey, did you see Bruce? He picked the Giants and they covered. Well, I'm not going to do much of that this year unless they show me something. By the way, the Giants are playing tonight, and they're playing the Buffalo Bills. And I'm going to give you the winner at, you got to remind me, Matt, 11:57.
You already gave the winner.
That was earlier, though. This is for the people that just got out of church that are in the car right now. All right, I'll give it to you anyway. Take the Bills because it's a home Buffalo. Hey, it's a home Buffalo Bill game. And besides, the Giants and Coughlin never try to win in the preseason. And by the way, they can't because I don't even think Eli will play. He's not going to take a snap, I don't think. And they got people injured, and they got guys that are on drug probation. And, you know, take the Bills. The Bills are going to kick the crap because they don't get a chance to do it that often. They're going to kick the crap out of the Giants, unfortunately. Now, next week, I like the Jets, but I haven't picked them yet. Let me tell you, preseason is an art form all itself because there are certain coaches that like to win in the preseason. New coaches like to look good in the preseason. Old coaches like Belichick could care less.
Redskins will be 4-0 in the preseason and what, 4-12 in the national season.
Well, I'm going to tell you what they're gonna do. They're gonna probably beat up. They might not beat them up, but they're going to beat New England because Belichick's all about game one. He's not about preseason at all. Besides, he doesn't cheat in the preseason. They only cheat during regular season games. And if you don't believe me, read Spygate, the untold story. Don't blame me. I'm just saying what telling you the truth. It's one of the reasons I had
part of the drinking game.
Well, one of the reasons I had a problem with Jay Glazer, introducing Michael Strahan. Mm-hmm. At the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Jay Glazer is one of those guys that gets a lot of scoops from the NFL because he shut up pretty quick about Spygate, in my opinion. And that is my opinion. And I got to tell you, I read a lot. Roy is playing golf, and we wish Roy the best. I hope he doesn't lose any of his balls because he bought one sleeve. He's probably got one sleeve of balls, and on the first hole, he probably hit two in the drink. God, I hope there's no water on the course. Roy, good luck in your endeavors on that short green. Keep it in the short grass, Roy. We were going to have Roy on this segment, and we thought someone was calling in, and they didn't. So we're just sitting here going over everything. Let's do this. I'm going to give everybody right now my NFL early season picks. And listen, if you think that, well, Bruce, we didn't know you were going to do this now, can we hear it later? Yeah, you can hear it at 2 o'clock. But actually, it would be 3:24. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Schedule standings. Here we go. The New England Patriots will win the AFC East. What a surprise. They're going to end up 11-5 this year. The Jets are going to be 9-7. The Bills will be 8-8. The Dolphins will be 6-10.
So did New England do anything on the offseason with their... They had no receiving core last year.
No, they're going to be okay. First of all, they drafted two tight ends. Hey, I'm going to go... You know what? Since you asked that question, I'm going to go right now to New England And I'm going to go to...
And what aging running back do they have this year?
You know, the thing that you got to understand about the New England Patriots, let's go to patriots.com, is he never leaves any stone unturned. He's the real deal. He always has been, always will be. If you look at their schedule, for example, mm-hmm. which I'm looking at right now, they start out, yeah, here we go. Oh, this is ridiculous.
This is internet.
You know, I hate computers because they're just so they're so bad. Go to NFL.com. Everybody go to NFL.com. Okay?
Yeah, I bet you I can get it before you. Just by Googling.
NFL.com.
New England Patriots.
All right, I'm gonna go in here and I'm going to look at schedules right from the start. I'm not going to look at standings.
Preseason.
I'm going to look at the schedules. Okay, here we go. Hall of Fame week. Yeah, we already know who's going to win this. I already told everybody, right? Okay.
Let's look at regular season.
All right, well, we can do that. Go ahead.
At Miami.
Preseason, Hall of Fame, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Right, I have the schedule here. I'll call it out.
You read it out like Roy does. Go ahead.
At Miami week one.
Yeah, they win. They're 1-0. Right. Go.
At Minnesota.
They win. They're 2-0.
Oakland at home.
They win. They're 3-0.
At Kansas City.
They lose. They're 3-1.
Cincinnati at home?
They're 4-1.
All right. At Buffalo?
You know what? They lose. They lose to Buffalo every year once. They're 4-2. Because Buffalo is going to be better, trust me. And they're going to be coming off that big win tonight against the Giants. Just kidding. It's going to be substantially
that's,
later.
That's what they're going to remember in week 4.
Yeah, they're going to remember that in week 4. Sure.
We're in week 6. Sorry.
Week 6.
All right. Jets at home.
They beat the Jets at home.
All right, 5-2.
Yep.
When's
their bye week?
Chicago at home. It'll be week 8.
Okay, so they're the Chicago.
Oh, no, week 10. Sorry.
Well, they're the Chicago at home. They're 6-2. Keep going.
All right. Denver at home.
They beat Denver. They're 7-2.
All right. Then they have their bye week. Then they on the road at Indianapolis.
They lose at Indianapolis.
Right,
7-3.
All right, they have Detroit at home.
8-3, they win.
They travel to Green Bay.
They lose, they're 8-4.
Travel to San Diego.
They lose, they're 8-5.
Then they have Miami at home.
They win, they're 9-5.
They go to the Jets.
They lose, they're 9-6.
And then they have Buffalo at home.
They win, they're 10-6. They're going to have to win that last game to make the playoffs. Let me tell you, the AFC East this year is going to be very good. Buffalo is going to be improved. The Jets are going to be improved. New England is going to be, they're going to be good, but they're not going to be great. And Tom Brady, God help him if anything happens to Tom Brady. No. Trust me. Nobody knows how to cheat like Tom.
They've proven that they are more than Tom Brady in the past. They've gone season.
No, well, they run the football is what they do, and that's what they're going to do this year. They've got pull up their roster and just run down their roster. If you go to New England Patriots, hold on, I'm going to click on the Pats. Where are the Pats? Hold on, I got them here. Where are you? Here we are, Patriots. Click. All right, here we go. Oh, this is great. All right, you go here. And you got
what positions are you looking for?
Well, look at their running backs. RB.
All right, let me sort by position.
I know who they got, but go ahead.
This is horrible radio, isn't it?
This is phenomenal radio. Are you kidding me? This is great.
All right, James White, Roy Finch, Stephen Houston, Stephen Ridley.
Stephon Ridley is a stud.
Brandon Bolden, Shane Vereen, probably their starter, I would assume.
Well, Shane Vereen was on my fantasy league team last year. He's good. He comes in off the bench a lot. He's good.
Tyler Gaffney.
He'll start. Who else?
That was it.
That's it. All right, go wide receivers. This is the ones you were worried about. They had a couple of rookies last year that got better towards the end of the season.
Derek Johnson, Jeremy Gallen, Brian Timms, Josh Boyce, Matthew Slater, Kemble Tompkins, Aaron Dobson.
Tompkins is a second-year guy. Keep going.
Julian Edelman.
Edelman is a stud. He also returns punts. Keep going.
Amendola, if he's...
Amendola and Edelman are two of the same. Is Amendola on the team still? He's on the roster?
Possibly. Well, well, this is off NFL.com. You never know.
No. That's true. It's true. It's updated. Keep going.
Greg Orton.
Keep going.
Brendan LaFell.
You know where LaFell come? He's a free agent signing out of the Carolina Panthers, and he was their number one receiver last year except for Steve Smith. So LaFell is he's like going to be their number one probably. Do me a favor. Have you got a call?
No, we got to go to break.
You're kidding. We're having so much fun. Do I have to say for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened? Did you know that realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership? When are we going to sell this place, Matt? When you do, would you call a realtor, please? We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Tony Mazur, how are you, son?
Oh, doing fine. How about yourself? How about yourselves, I should say.
Well, you know, it's me and Matt, and Matt's eating a donut, so he's technically not here anymore. He's in heaven. And I'm just here. Hey, listen, I was, what's that? Roy who? No, Roy's playing golf this weekend and next weekend. He let me know last night with a what do you call it?
Text message.
Or text email. Message. Yeah, that's tough. That's where my brain is today. No, I went and saw the Nats play last night. They were up 11-0 after four innings, and it had taken 2 hours and 20 minutes to play four innings. I left and went and ate dinner. So we're eating dinner, right, watching the rest of the game. We finish dinner. It's the eighth inning. I drive home. I see it at home, the end of the game. I mean, you know, when you see a team score 11 runs in four innings, that's all you need to see. Because there wasn't going to be anything that even equaled that kind of pleasure and just fanability, if that's a word.
Are you enjoying Esdrubal Cabrera so far?
Can I tell you what? I like him a lot so far. And that's one of the reasons I called you, because you're an expert at Cleveland sports. Drewby has always been a pretty good ball player. I mean, and I could see how, depending on who he's got surrounding him in a lineup, and depending on how consistent that lineup is, and you and I both know the Cleveland Indians, they have some good players, but they're not always that consistent with their performance. Wouldn't you say Esdrubal Cabrera is probably one of their better players in general?
He should have been. The one problem with him is motivation, and he was a guy that for years in Cleveland, we had Omar Vizquel, and for 11 full seasons, Omar won a Gold Glove every single year.
Oh, I know.
So it's kind of hard to duplicate just that greatness, that dominance there. However, Esdrubal Cabrera for a couple of years did a pretty serviceable job filling in. It's just the past couple of years, his batting average dropped, his weight fluctuated, he started getting a little bigger, and it was time. And the Indians shed their dead weight. They got rid of Justin Masterson too, but hopefully those guys kind of wake up and realize, you know, bouncing around like this isn't really a good thing, and it'll wake them up a little bit and showcase their talent.
Well, I'd be real surprised if the Nationals, knowing Mike Rizzo like I do, and Riz is he's a smart guy, and he probably had a circle around Drewby for a long time, because you know this is a guy that can play defense. He's a switch hitter, and he's not that old. He's 28 years old. You know that
he's
I think
he's
either 28 or 29. He's not 30 yet. Here's our problem in Washington. The problem that the Nats have is they have a phenomenal fielder in Danny Espinosa, but the guy hits like an A-ball player. He punches out 150 to 200 times a year if he plays every game. And left-handed, all you have to do is throw him a letter-high fastball, and he swings and misses at it every time. Drewby already has shown in the last, you know, couple games he's played for them that they don't lose anything defensively because he's every bit as good. He might not have quite as good of an arm as – and he's – see, Danny's a shortstop too, and Danny plays second. But Danny, hey, they're going to package him, in my opinion, Espinoza, in the offseason. They're going to get rid of him with a group of prospects and or Ryan Zimmerman, because Zimmerman may be on his way out. And they may just re-sign our first baseman, LaRoche, for another year or two. Probably 1 year. They're going to give him like a one-year deal for $10 million or something. And if they do that, they can keep Cabrera. They might even give him an extension. Do you know if he was signed for any length of time with Cleveland?
He's making $10 million this year, so
he's worth it.
He's going to be a free agent in the offseason, and which is one of the reasons why. And we hear it in the NBA, expiring contracts and stuff like that. And certainly, this is one of those cases that it was time you needed a change of scenery, and especially with the contract coming up, maybe this will help motivate him to play a lot better and actually deserve that $10 million.
Hey, Lonnie Chisenhall's hitting over 300. Is he that much better than he used to be? And does it have anything to do with steroids?
No, I would say with Chisenhall, he figured it out, but the problem is, I think the problem was very mental, because there was a time where he was not qualifying for a batting average yet. He didn't have enough at bat and was hitting like 365. And he was putting up Tulowitzki numbers,
right,
or Jose Altuve numbers. And as soon as he started qualifying for a batting average, he was hitting around maybe 328. And then ever since then, it's just almost in free fall. And he'll probably end up hitting maybe 290 for the season, which is still fine, but compared to what it was, and he had a massive game against the Texas Rangers back about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, and it's just starting to come around a little bit.
A lot of people are having massive games against the Rangers right now, unfortunately, for the Rangers. All right, so the Indians are done pretty much. They did get involved, they ended up dealing Masterson. Who'd they get in return for him?
They got a prospect. His name is, I think it's James Ramsey.
Oh, okay. Number one draft choice.
He's a pretty slick ball player, outfielder. He's in AAA right now. So basically, the Indians got rid of their expiring contracts for two AAA guys. We could see them soon in Cleveland, but I don't know. Well, it's just another one of those kind of deals that you just kind of have to do. The Indians, to be honest, the Indians dropped the ball, and I tweeted about it earlier. Northeast Ohio, where I'm currently at right now, is the center. It's the mecca of the sports universe.
Is that right?
Didn't do anything to continue that.
Is that where St. Iggy's is?
St. Ignatius?
Yeah. Yeah, well, isn't it amazing that the best wrestling school in the country, and St. Iggy's isn't only good for wrestling, right? They have great high school sports, right?
Oh, excellent. I mean, that's where Brian Hoyer played.
Yeah, and no wonder Hoyer is like the guy. And by the way, that's the next thing we want to talk about. Is Brian Hoyer the guy still?
I'd say start the season with him.
Right.
I don't want to rush Manziel. Manziel's not ready. He's looking better. I don't know if he's looking better or Hoyer's not looking as good. But whatever it is, I guess the report that I saw earlier is he has narrowed the gap.
Right.
That Manziel has narrowed the gap. But I still think it should be Hoyer to start the season. See where that takes you. If indeed Hoyer stinks, if his ACL surgery, if something was screwed up there in his knee, then, I guess it's a wait-and-see process with that. But, really, we're starting to see football season. We have the Hall of Fame game tonight.
Oh, by the way, Tony, we already released the winner. It's a Buffalo home game. Take the Bills, and I'm serious. Play this like it's a championship game, because the Bills will win by 3 touchdowns minimum.
Wow.
Well, first of all, you got to know something about preseason. Tom Coughlin's record in the preseason is probably the worst of any coach that's still coaching, because he doesn't care about the preseason. Does that make sense? I doubt Eli's not even playing. So it's not like the first team offense is going to have their general out there with him. And if he is,
have you ever been? Have you ever been down to Canton for the football?
No, I've been to Canton, but it was for a different reason. I went and we raised a bunch of money many years ago for a guy named Mike Garcia, who's way too old for you to remember, but he was dying of liver cancer. And he didn't have any, you know, Major League Baseball until recently didn't have a lot of the stuff they've got going on for their old guys. And I used to work for the guy that ran the Major League Baseball Alumni Association, a guy by the name of John Horshock. And I would fly to these golf tournaments with them and take care of their big guys like Bill Mazeroski and Chuck Hinton, who used to play for the Cleveland Indians a long time ago before he became a Washington Senator. Chuck unfortunately passed away not long ago. But no, I haven't been there except to see a golf tournament. You know, that's been it. And I need to get out there because I was invited. I've been invited several times to go by people who have seats, you know, that are members of the hall. And I've never gone. Oh, yeah. And I need to get my butt there. See, I coach baseball all summer long, you know, so.
To play at Firestone where the bridge stone.
Yes, I
another
did.
Another thing in Northeast Ohio. How about Sergio?
Oh, 61. Listen, let me just say this. Sergio's difference, you can see it. He's putting like Tiger used to. And Tiger's putting like Sergio usually does. I mean, did you notice how smooth his putting stroke was this week? Sergio is putting. When you putt, I've been told this by professionals, when you putt, you got to putt like you are half asleep and don't care if you make it or not. But you go for the hole every time. And that's what he's been doing. He's been doing that.
Let me write down these golf tips. I need.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, can you do me a favor? Can you stay on for the last segment? We're going to go over some Johnny Manziel stuff and...
Oh, sure.
All right, man. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
You know it's too short of a break when you're still eating on the same donut you started at the beginning. I'm Bruce Hall, and I feel like a cop right now. I'm eating donuts. I always wanted to be a cop.
Kind of pressing the man.
I thought that was absolutely one of the greatest perks of being a policeman when I was growing up. They got to eat free donuts. And believe me, if you own a Krispy Kreme or a Dunkin' Donuts and you don't grease your local cop with donuts, you are asking to be robbed, okay? I'm Bruce Hall, and I don't like getting robbed.
All right, let's go back to sports here.
All right, hey,
Tony,
hey,
I have to ask you.
Now, oh, my God.
So Cleveland has been the site of all these massive, huge signings for all these different teams. I have to ask you, do you follow Columbus Crew for soccer? No.
I've been to the stadium. I've been there for rock concerts. I don't remember much about the rock concerts, but I've been there.
So hey, I heard you had a party last night.
As far as that goes.
Did you have a party? You had a party last night.
Oh, yeah.
Your party was all over Twitter. And not just from you.
All right, so do you have no input on who the U.S. national team player that wants to come to the Cleveland or to the Columbus Crew is then?
I can't believe he's asking this.
Every time I see USMNT, when I see those, I think of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The U.S. Mutant Ninja Turtles. All right, so rumor is it could be either Mixed Disc Rude, Jermaine Jones, or even your favorite player,
Breck Shea is a member of.
He doesn't have a team. Or it could also be Oguchi Onyewu.
Breck Shea should be playing here because his relatives are in Norfolk. I thought I was always too close to the mic. Oh. I'm getting these hand signals by my producer. He's constantly telling me, get your nose off the mic. Get your nose off the mic. I back up, and he's like saying, get forward. No, Breck Shea is literally, might as well be my nephew. Because my sisters, who I call my sisters, are his... Mom and, you know, it's just
great.
Well,
he could be playing in Columbus soon.
I hope so. Breck Shea's a great player, by the way. Saw a picture of him recently. Hey, Tony, let's talk a couple of things. Let's talk NFL football. You ready?
I'm ready.
The Browns. Okay.
Yes.
Is Hoyer as fast as Manziel? I mean, like in a 60-yard dash, 40-yard dash. No.
Pre-injury, maybe. Right now, no.
Okay. How big is he? Is he 6'2", 6'3", 6'4"?
I think he's 6'3". I'm pretty sure he's 6'3". 215?
He's a little guy.
They're not big, imposing guys. They're not somebody who you're going to fear when you're, you know, you see this guy in a pocket and go, uh-oh, this guy's going to throw over the top of us.
Does Hoyer throw a nice pass, pretty pass?
Yeah, actually, I was surprised by it because remember, he was, you know, you have Manziel as a first-round pick, and you have Hoyer, who was undrafted out of Michigan State, and he just ended up like kind of coming out of nowhere.
So Hoyer was a free agent? They signed him as a free agent?
Yeah, remember, he was signed by, I believe it was New England, and he was like the third-string quarterback.
That's right.
Under Ryan Mallett.
Well, I can tell you exactly. You know why they released him? He refused to cheat. Don't laugh. I mean, I'm telling you, because they have a little system there for their quarterbacks, right? And that system may still be in place. And if that system's still in place, you know they got to run it by you. Why do you think they take so many coaches back there after they go somewhere else and nobody wants them? Because
that's true. Well, here's the other thing. Then I'll continue that with the quarterbacks. Ryan Mallett, every single offseason, someone is rumored to be interested in Ryan Mallett for a trade, and it never happens. Why does it not happen? Well, you might have hit the nail on the head.
Because he sucks. Because he can't. Because he cannot call a play or complete a pass or be successful unless he knows up until the snap of the ball what the defense is doing. That the other guy like that is the guy from Kansas City, right? What's his name? The guy that went there?
Oh, Alex Smith.
No, not the good guy. No, it wasn't Alex Smith.
Oh, Matt Castle.
Same thing. Matt Castle didn't take, are you ready for that? He didn't take one snap at USC. Yet he has a similar year to Tom Brady when Brady goes down with a knee injury early in a season. Are you freaking kidding me? Right?
The system.
Absolutely the system, and we put system in quotation marks. The system. And I got to tell you, I'm not the only, I mean, everybody can read. Buy Spygate, The Untold Story, and you will know all the players. And you know what? Not once has any tweet I've sent out or any Facebook rant I've gone on been challenged by anybody. You know why? It's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. What's the NFL going to do? Take their three Lombardi trophies back from New England? Of course not. They're not going to ever do that. But do me a favor. Somebody sooner or later admit, when's it going to happen? When Brady's 60? He's going to, Giselle is going to leave him because, I told him to tell, but, he wouldn't tell anybody about the truth about the New England. Come on, man. Somebody tell the truth sooner or later. It's not going to happen as long as before Belichick gets in the Hall of Fame, probably. Hey, Jay Glazer, right? The guy that introduced, what's his name? Michael Strahan at the Hall of Fame banquet yesterday. He was one of the three guys, him and what's the guy's name? There's three guys that get all of the scoops from the NFL. And they were all the guys that were first on the story for Spygate. And then all of a sudden, the story was... they quit writing about it. Well, doesn't that seem a little strange to you? It's kind of like Dan Rather with the Kennedy assassination. Only, wasn't a murder involved. I mean, sure, there were people that killed themselves because the New England Patriots won. But we can't count those bodies on our roll,
Well, no, of course not.
Hey, I hate to rant about that, but you know what? That's some weird stuff, you got to admit. Hey, so you had a birthday party? Was it your birthday?
No, it was. I DJ on Saturday nights. It kind of just to help supplement the.
I love your rants. Roy used to do that. You know that. Roy still does that. I think he actually did my birthday party. Roy did.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, my 60th. I should have invited you. You guys could have just had fun, and we would have just rented the whole country club for overnight. Of course, all my friends went home.
What are you inviting him to?
All of my friends went home and went to bed because it was late. But I could stay up late. No, we love having you on, Tony. You know that. Hey, a question. Defensively, what are the Browns going to be like? They've added some people. Is it going to help in that division?
It could, and it could have kind of an immediate impact. It's just, I look at how the team is now, and they're fairly young. And I don't know. They certainly have, some parts are young, but then also other parts, because they got Carlos Dansby, they have Dante Whitner. They're getting up there in years. So it's like almost one of those, it's the window's closing a little bit, so they just got to, keep it going there.
I see them. I mean, first of all, let's look at their depth chart real quick, because it's not very often we get to talk. We talk about Pittsburgh and we talk about Baltimore because Roy loves Baltimore. We talk about them all the time, but we never really talk that much about the Cleveland Browns. I mean, the Cleveland Browns, in my opinion, I don't know anything about them since Ernest Biner fumbled a ball on the goal line. Maybe it was the one-yard line.
I think this show talks more about the Cleveland Browns than any channel in Cleveland.
You think we talk about it more than Kylie and Booms? What do you think? Do we?
Well,
they got Sam Ratigliano on their show all the time, don't they?
Sam's a good dude.
He was a great guy when he was a coach. Hey,
well, he's the one who remember Charles White.
Yeah. Oh God, do I remember
back in the day?
Yeah, absolutely. And, USC running back.
It was Sam Ratigliano who got him clean.
I didn't even know he had a drug problem. Good for him.
Oh yeah, they used to call him Snow White back in the day because it was not good for him.
Worse than Hollywood Henderson. Jesus, Hollywood Henderson, buddy of mine, used to play for the Cowboys, said he showed up at a party once with a trash bag full of cocaine. Now, that's obviously somebody saying that many, many years ago. But I think Hollywood admitted and wrote a book about all of his drug problems he had. And I think Hollywood's still alive, pretty sure. Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm looking, Willis McGahee, is he still with the Browns? Did he sign?
No, that was a one-time thing, and sorry, I'm at the grocery store.
Don't worry about it. I love it.
But,
hey, is my boy Jason Campbell gone?
Yeah, Campbell's with Cincinnati.
All right, and how about Chris Obanaya? Is he still there?
Obanaya is, yeah.
Well, you know what? He averaged 5 yards a carry last year. I mean, he's not bad. Josh Gordon is obviously. What's going to go on with Josh Gordon in this this appeal he's doing?
The appeals process, I guess on Friday, he had an appeal that lasted 10 hours. He wasn't there for it, but it was a 10-hour appeal, and they're continuing tomorrow.
You know, there must be something to that because he's hired three attorneys. And evidently the league, the players' union, sent their attorney to represent him. So what does that tell you?
Okay, well, one of the big things that they have for Gordon that they're trying to use is this secondhand smoke that he was just around pot smokers.
Of course he was. Let me ask you this. You know, just because you go clean doesn't mean that you have to tell your friends have to go clean. And that secondary smoke's always going to be a problem, especially as long as there's a team where? In Denver. Because isn't it legal to smoke pot in Colorado? So if it's legal, if it's legal to smoke pot in Colorado, how can you get suspended from any NFL football team if in Colorado, you can go anywhere and people are smoking dope around you?
Because it's a league rule.
No, but that's not the point. They cannot. No, they can't favor one team over another. I mean, what argument would be for a guy in Colorado should be okay also in Ohio. It doesn't make any difference. Now, what Josh Gordon has going against him is his past, obviously. Right?
Yeah, it might depend on what they do with the CBA. I don't know. I haven't really read too much into it, but I mean, they really are using that secondhand smoke argument. And I mean, but remember, this is the same guy who got suspended for the same thing in college.
Yeah.
He's the guy who just got a DWI last month.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's like, you know, your chances, your benefit of the doubt is not really...
No, I know.
Not really there for you.
If it works, will they call it the Bill Clinton rule?
Hey, where did
he
they...
surrounded.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you a question. Where did they send Brandon Whedon? Now, we got about a minute left. Where did they send Brandon Whedon? He's a backup somewhere, right? Did he go to Tampa?
No, he's with Tony Romo.
Oh, you're kidding. He's a Cowboy?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what's going to happen there? He's going to get more snaps than Tony because Tony will break his back in the third game. And the best they're going to do is 8-8 because they're average. You know,
they're an average team.
Well, they're not even an average team. You know, I've got them going 7-9 or 6-10. I have them in last place in the East. I have either them or the Giants are going to be 6-10. One of them is going to be 7-9. Redskins are going to be 7-9, and our Philadelphia Eagles are going to be 11-5. They're going to win the East. So, hey, listen, you know what you should do? When I go do my futures in Vegas, you should meet me there. You want to do that? I'll find you a room. Don't worry about it, okay? You make sure you come, though, because if I tell you to come, you got to come. We'll do a show in Vegas out of a Beasley broadcast. I mean, I know those guys a little bit. They may let us use their studio and do the WFAS thing, hopefully. Okay? Hey, listen, Tony, great having you on. People, we'll be back next week with more fun stuff. And, oh, by the way, Matt, how much time do we have? Because we forgot.
15
seconds? Okay, the picks I had for today, baseball, Oakland, Philadelphia, St. Louis, and the Dodgers. See you next week.